Genesis chapter 3. We're still on one another, effective relationships. You know, John Maxwell, the famous leader or teacher on leadership, will often say everything rises and falls on leadership, even though I believe there are exceptions to that fact, but it has a lot of truth in it. You know, we can also say everything rises and falls on your relationships. And look at, before you get to Genesis 3, go to Jeremiah 10. On your relationships. How you relate and who you relate with. Jeremiah 10:23. He says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. So which means that there is influence. Man, we said over the years, is a product of influence. There's nothing you are doing today that you are not influenced to do. Even how you are dressed, the kind of everything you are doing, how you speak, you know, it's all a product of influence. Why? Because God wants us to be men and women of influence. We are to be influenced. That's why we are in the local assembly. You know, why are we in a local church? It's because man is a product of influence. So God wants us to have regulated, controlled, proper, purposeful influence. So never think, well, I'm just a person on my own. It's not really true. Truth is, we're a product of relationships. Rather than run from relationships, we should learn how to cultivate them and get the best out of them. Are you here? You have to get the best out of it. You don't say, well, I'm never going to get married again because of people got their hands burnt in that. Then you say, I'm not going to leave again because people die. We don't despise relationships because of things that happened to us before. And we don't do that. But we are a product of influence. We must agree. The earlier we agree on things like that, the easier our journeys will be. That, look, I'm always influenced. Even when I say, I am not going to be influenced, it's an influence in itself. Right? So, in Genesis chapter 3, so you will know, the first time we read the motions and activities of sin, it says, and the serpent, which is the Nakash, was more subtle. Verse 1. Than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the man, yea, have God said. So, we could treat that relationship, or let's say interactions, brought about sin. And then you have, he's speaking to the woman. The woman said to the serpent. Now, look at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. If you are yet to see how influential those with us are, after reading this, I need to pray for you. This is arguably the most debatable instance in human nature, in human history. And it says it came by a relationship. Interestingly, a God-given, God-ordained relationship. Of course, not with the serpent in that sense, but even though we could open up that theological fact that it has to do with the serpent, because man, the serpent is meant to be part of the supernatural beings. We call them hosts of heaven and, you know, and all that. But she said she gave it to her husband. In Romans 5:12 says, through one man, sin entered into the world. And but we could just read it now that the man was influenced. He was. And it didn't mean that the relationship was bad. or evil, no, but just to see the importance, the power of those who are close by. Now, when the Lord asked Adam, he says in verse 12, the woman you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I didn't eat. The woman you gave me. Call it, in today's terms, a supernatural relationship, amen. He said, you gave me. But the point is, something happened in that relationship. So we can't overestimate or underestimate the power of relationships. So our job is to effectively have relationships, effectively, I don't want to use the word use, but effectively, you know, effectively walk in relationships. That sounds too spiritual. Effectively relate to relationships, something like that. You know, we have to, because it's of God to relate. Even though this brought about sin, and it, you know, they were so effectively related that they left together. But that's what happened. So you can't underestimate the power of relationships. Jeremiah says it is not in a man to determine the steps he takes, which means that we are all led by things we see, hear, and things we see, hear, read also came from people. Some people don't have an influence on you because they see you every day, but they write what you read. That's sufficient enough to influence everything you do. Everything we see in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, they come back to influence us. They create images, thoughts, patterns, meditations, ideas, fears, joy, excitement. So we are a product of people around us. This, by the way, what that means, that I must put control around the relationships I have. So let's get back a bit to last week. And we said last week, I'm just going to repeat some things I said about relationships generally. I spoke about 6 or 7 things that we must do in relationships. We said, number one, compassion, remember? Remember? Compassion, which means we must show mercy, kindness, and sacrifice to those who are with us, those we are with. And, you know, compassion, we said, show mercy, be kind, and sacrifice. Said number two, reconciliation. So I said reconciliation. You know, reconciliation is better spelled than acted upon, right? Spell reconciliation. R-E-G-O. But reconcile. Let me go and pray about it. You know, to reconcile. And I did say also the last time, I said, usually, when you allow an offense to take too long a time, it becomes exaggerated. Exaggerated. You just begin to, you know, imagine. Have you ever had times you sat down with people close by, your close friends, your associates, and you look back at things and, really? Was this what caused the whole thing? And it was all saying, no, it was somebody, third party. I said, in as much as I know third parties play a role sometimes, but really, how was it easy for a third party to kind of split you apart like the Red Sea? It shouldn't be. Did you have, because it takes fear, anxiety, and lack of trust to listen to a third party in a relationship. Because why would you have someone come to you and say, I want to tell you something, something about what? Something about your friend. Don't you have his phone number? I do, but I just feel you should know. You know, that's quite intriguing. And, you know, you should ensure that things don't get to that point where a third party becomes so influential, you know. So we say reconciliation, forgiveness, right? Forgive offenses, heal broken relationships. And we said restore harmony. Usually where things go bad, you know, I've seen people like that. It took a while. And there was this brother like that, that we were very close. And things went south, as we say today, south, we went bad. So I did all I could to, in fact, I think I was traveling to see the brother every week. But things never got better. And that's not because, whatever it was, you know. When we saw a few years ago, I'm talking about some 24, 25 years ago. When we saw a few years ago, and we're talking, and I said, why was it so difficult? We were so close, that we're so close. You know, of course I was like a pastor to him. So we're so close, very, very close. What happened? He had said too many things. And that happens to many of us. You just over-talk. You just talk. He had said too many things. And not just, assuming he just told you, both of you will know how to, but he had said it to too many people. And like some do, I learned this from my dad, he had written too many letters. Back then, my dad would do something that I'll scribble an epistle. So I drop it under his door. Because I felt I could write. He used to write too. So one day, and I didn't even know how many letters I'd written. He had them in a file. What? So he brought them out and he said, this day, so I looked at, as he was opening the files, about the way the file is no more. Okay, let's go back to this issue. Because I had to do something about it. So he wrote and said, this day you said this. But I said, are you not contradicting yourself? I'm saying, this man stored all my emotions. Okay, from that point, and there was no phone to record that. So I just say what I was going to say. And there was no record, you know, to keep at it. But someone was just to take it away, just write. I'm sorry I have to say this. You are sorry from the beginning of the letter, I'm sorry. They write sentences and sentences and sentences and all that. And today you have to just send text messages. Just think about, you know, I've had to cancel people who are married now. Whose relationship was going to divorce because of WhatsApp. I'm not looking. WhatsApp. Whatever can make you get home. Get home. It's too far. It's 8 o'clock. Him will see 5. Pick your phone. Pam, 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 pam. Say, shh. And the guy said, what's this? You reply, pa, pa, pa. Why couldn't you wait? And the thing about those kind of people is they're not that eager to win souls. Or to pray in tongues. You know? They're eager to say their mind. I have to say it because if I don't say it, it looks like it's an offense. So my friend, you not do the offense. I don't want to have something inside against you. So I want to pour it out. So they pour it out. So I learned it. So the guy was talking, he had said too many things. So difficult. We tried to talk, but, I mean, it's not me, oh. It's not me. He has said too many things. Don't talk too much. Too much. Can you just shut up? And you know, sometimes, the problem is that you don't look for somebody to say it to. They say, hey, is that all? There's more. Say it. Open up. You know, open up. You know? I really open up. A dam. So we do have that. Never let things go that bad. That's 2, 3. Adoration. And we said, where you keep the love, you know, as fresh, with respect. With respect. It's true that familiarity reduces love and respect and adoration, but it shouldn't. We can work at that and ensure that doesn't happen. Number 4, who said fellowship. We'll talk about that in a moment. Spend time together. Keep that interpersonal bond. Spend time together, you know. And we said gratefulness. Gratefulness takes out the entitlement spirit. They need to say thank you. You know, thank you. Things that are just normal. You know, your friend calls you, you take it for granted that you were called. Why not just say, oh, thank you for the call? You know, how should I thank you for the call? I'm calling you, put the man, talk every day. Then you say, you don't even call me today. You know? Thank you for the call. You know, thank you for this. Thank you. Let us say thank you often. Not the kind of, thank you. You know, that's a kind of, you know, they say, thank you. They say, thank you at home. Thank you a lot. You know? So we should learn to be grateful. Amen. And be grateful for the people you have, for those who have you, and all that. So we said that the other day. Now last week, 2 weeks ago, we now began to look at something else. How many of us, not here, or some believers, some people, they don't let go of the past. They think they must retain their past. Say, so, you know, this is the way I am. I have trust issues. I have trust issues. They say, what do you mean? They're not going to my primary school. What? He has done PhD. He's in my primary school. Primary school? There was one guy like that. I really trusted. I used to give him my pencil. The other, and some guys are like that. When they begin to tell you the story, they say, you know, someone told me one story like that. The person said I was going to empathize. And I said, when did this happen? He said, but sir, it's been long. I said, I know when. He said, well, it was just about the time I was leaving primary school for secondary school. It was you brought to this community. You brought primary school, secondary school to this community church. And then you began to interact with it. So when are you going? I said, have you left primary school? I said, what about secondary school? Have you been there? Said, yeah. University? Yes. I don't want to say direct, so you don't guess. Are you seeing? I said, you have a problem. I said, you know how I'm feeling. So all the word I teach you is just burning. So when you say, I'm a new man, I'm a new creature, so it's just joke. The Holy Ghost is in me. What's it for? It's a label. So last week there were a lot of people who could have carried the hurts of the past into the present. The experiences. But they didn't. And they never reflected in the things that they were doing. You can decide to let go. Don't invest a hurtful past into a glorious future. Did you hear me? It's not an investment. Did you hear me? It is not an investment. What you ought to invest in your relationships is a new culture of the Spirit that you have received in Christ. Don't invest that kind of past. Don't. In fact, let us hear the story and feel, wow, and look at you today. Not, no wonder. You know, you can tell us and you say, what? Are you serious? You don't reflect it. And you say, well, thank God for the word. Not, I used to see the way you used to behave. We all have issues. You've got to invest today. In today, not yesterday, that you have to let go. Put in the culture of God's Spirit. Moses had to do it. We saw Joseph had to do it. There was a man I didn't share last week. Jabez also had to do it. You let go. You put in a new culture of your newfound life in Christ. And that's why you don't need to go for therapy. So let's go for therapy. Let's go for therapy. You go and sit down and say, so you say, now, what are your likes? I've never been there before. I just guessed. I say, think. So naturally, what would you like to do now? Slap your face. Now? Now. Why? I don't know. And you're going to therapy. No, brother. You've got to invest the culture of God's Spirit into your relationships. Is that clear? We saw that last week. Okay, now, see something very quick. Now, having said that man is a product of influence, you need to, now, as important as it is for us to build relationships, you also need to know that we have a high point or high level of influence around us. Look at two instances so that you get this quickly. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 1. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to men, to them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now that collective noun or pronoun shows you that it's a product of influence. Okay? They. Anywhere you see they in scripture, it's giving you a background, Genesis 3. It means that it's an influence. People told those who told those who told someone and they were persuaded. Now look at what he says here. My spirit shall no longer strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now look at verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and it was great in the earth, which means it multiplied. In verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, which means it increased. That's the power of influence. That's the power of influence. And it's in relationships that this could happen. People talk with people, people are close by, people relate, people interact, and then it became a communal, general conduct and attitude. But then we have Noah. Noah stands out. So which means that I can choose my influence. Noah stood out because in chapter 5 verse 29, when he was born, he was called a son of the Spirit, or born by the Spirit, which means he had a future, a purpose. And that purpose was to be the rest place. He says here, the comfort. Verse 29, Genesis 5. So which means that despite the influence around my world, I can find the purpose of God on my life. I decide what influences me. So Noah stood out. He did. In that time, in that nation, in that generation, he stood out. By God's purpose in his life. Again, look at one more person. Genesis 13, Lot. Lot told his uncle, Abraham, that he wanted to go to Sodom. Verse 10. Well watered. So, Lot had commercial interest. We'll see that towards the end today. Commercial interest. Now put this somewhere because it's a little critical because I want to say this before I go into the issues of relationships now. Whatever motivates you to build friendships that has to do with natural things like commercial things, academics, even sports, entertainment, you have to be cautious. Now, Lot looks at this and he sees it's fine. It's commercially great. But one thing he didn't see that there was great thing. He didn't see it. Commercially great, you know, and people take that decision. You can't take a wholly commercial decision, financial decision, and then base your entire life on it. That's too dangerous. He took a decision based on the commercial interest. Oh, the land is well watered. It looks, land is green, it's green. That was all he saw. And he took Sodom. And that was the greatest problem he had. He went to Sodom. Just the next chapter, he is captured in verse 11 and 12. Abraham comes and sets him free. Then, chapter 18, Abraham had to plead for Sodom, intercede, as we call it, because the sin was great and grievous. Genesis 18, 20. In Genesis 19, his wife is lost in the fire, or she became salt, both ways. Then, for whatever reasons, crazy reasons, his daughters decided to have children by him. Now, why would they think like that? You just need to go to chapter 19 and see the sexual perversion in Sodom. The daughters obviously were products of influence. So it set the ball rolling for different consequences. Just because he took a holy commercial decision. Now let me get back to that very, so that it becomes a bit factual. I mean, a bit, can get clearer. Now, he stays in Sodom, he will have friends, neighbors, right? Business associates, colleagues. And that's a whole lot. So just like his children, his wife. And look at the consequence. Just from one thing to the other, just because he took a wholly commercial decision. Don't just take an academic decision. Don't just take, because whatever decisions you take, whether it's commercial, academic, financial, it will lead to relationships that will be built around the same interest. You get to a point, and I used to share this years back, that when you get to a point in the faith, okay, there are times that people can pray for you because of your level of faith as a baby Christian, and it's fine. There are times that you just have to pray for yourself. I said that to say this. The times, just like Hebrews 5, say the time you ought to be teachers, where you have verse 12 or 13, by the time you get to a point of maturity, expected maturity, then you ought to take decisions as led by the Spirit. Because by then you should know. You can't just act in the flesh. And then say, well, I was not the only one, you know, and that's what they would have said in days of Noah. I was not the only one now. Everybody said it. Everybody wanted it. I was not the only one now. You know, sometimes you can feel that something cannot be evil if most people are doing it. It's a default thinking. So when you find Noah, you think Noah is weird. A default thinking. Come on, don't be stupid. Look at the whole town, the whole street. Come on. You don't be weird. Why? You have built relationships around those interests. So just like Lot and Noah, we have things to learn. And things to learn. Now, I always give this principle. It's been almost 25 years or 26 years. I said, in relationships, always have people. You have three principles. I said, number one, come, let us know the Lord. If you don't find people in your circles that don't have that purpose, come, let us know the Lord. I know some of you adopted those principles years ago, but you have tweaked it. As long as you have known the Lord, you have tweaked it a bit. Tweak it a bit and give some addendum. I like that. Come, let us know the Lord. Right? Come, let us show others the Lord. Let's show others. Let's let others know the Lord. Let me ask you, is there something more important than knowing the Lord in your life? I don't think so, right? So if that's your highest pursuit, It should be the motivation. Right? Come, let us show others the Lord. And the third one said, come, let's enjoy the Lord together. Our fellowship with one another, with the church, and all of that. So all that is critical in our circle of friends. So I'm going to ask a question, which is what I'm teaching today. Now, we are a product of influence. We're supposed to make relationships, all that. But now, does God, this is the question, does God expect you to build relationships? Look at the term I use, build. Does he expect you to build relationships? We're going to see that shortly. But let's get back to what I said earlier. So, you don't throw away the basics, okay? Come, let's know the Lord. Come, let's show us the Lord. Come, let's enjoy the Lord together. Which is in fellowship with other believers and all that. So, don't throw that away. Not at all. Last week we said, Proverbs 18:24, that a man that has many friends, what do we say? He comes to ruin. That's Mr. Nice. I belong to nobody. That's a public toilet. Even now, I think you have to pay. You guys say, even God belongs to people. Right? Don't be stupid, okay? Is that okay? Alright, good. So, you must, therefore, know the kind of influence relationships are around you. So don't forget, we are all a product of influence. So does God expect me to build relationships? Does God expect me to build relationships? Before we go there, first thing is that there's straightforward instructions on natural relationships. Father and mother, children, natural relationships. There's no relationship with cousins. No instructions. So your cousin must be, except Leviticus and has to do marriage and stuff like that. See, your cousin should stay over in your house. I don't live with cousins. Nobody? You live with cousins? There's no scripture for it. So when you get home, say, cousin, I checked my Bible. Oh, no, you're not there. Okay, so but let's look at Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 1. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we have that clear. Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. We also have servants. Be obedient to them that are masters according to the flesh, which is your employers. And the employees also are meant to do well. 9, verse 9. You masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is not. This is, don't go read this to your MD. He may not be a believer. And even if he is, let his pastor read this to him. Those MD, so I have to share. You say you're a Christian. Yesterday you were telling us that we won't get bonuses. If we don't meet the target, sir, please, I know you like the word of God. Look at Ephesians 6. It says, forbearing threatening, sir. Now say, all right. No problem. By the time you try to log into your email, you can't get in. Say, go and meet your pastor. Don't read that one to your boss at work. But if you're a boss, read this, right? Forbearing, that's very tough. Forbearing threatening. Hi. Look at it again and say, what's the Greek word? Threatening. Knowing that your master also... So this shows he's talking to believers, right? So if your boss is the kind of believer that is not totally in believing, don't read this. Husband and wife, Ephesians 5 and 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as it is unto the Lord. Now I've heard people say that, why did Paul start with wives? You know, it's a good question. Well, why didn't he start with husbands first? That shows the level of bias.
Then Paul has to ask him, Paul, why are you chauvinistic?
Well, are you an Ephesian? Nope. You see an Ephesus? Nope. He's not talking to you. About there, isn't that the word of God? To the Ephesians. Those in Ephesus were dealing with such terrible philosophies. About this particular point, I mean, reflecting on 1 Timothy 2, they had an issue with the goddess of Diana. So that's why his first approach was to talk to the wives. Notice in Corinth was the same thing, 1 Corinthians 11. That has nothing to do with you directly. That's why it most probably interpreted. I get the point, but I still don't get the point. Oh, you missed that. So here we are. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Notice the word own husbands. Okay, not to every husband. That would be too tough. As unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, when Christ is the head of the church. Interestingly, husband reads the ones for wives. I don't know whether it's a color blindness or spelling issue. The wife just seems to read the one for husband. Come and read. The Bible says, did you not read the next one? You know, and we have that. So we have obligations to natural relationships, to work relationships, right? And so to act on this is as important as acting on prayer. They carry the weight of instructions. So God expects us to build relationships, a godly one with family. Now, the truth is, you don't choose family in the sense of natural family. In that sense, father, mother, I meant that. You don't choose that, but you still have an obligation. Now, where you choose husband and wife, you still have to have an obligation. Natural relationships, that's what they are. Now, also, for your employer, employee, you still have to do the word. So, wherever you are working, look at the word of God and ask yourself tomorrow morning, it's a Thursday, and say, how much of this am I acting on now? And I mean now. And look at that, Ephesians 6, and Colossians 3 as well. Verse 22 to 25. You're an employer of labor too, you read that. Am I doing the word of God? Because oftentimes when we get to these portions, we stop, we let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. When we're done, when we get to the servant's master, we just keep it and just go to chapter 4, verse 2, continuing prayer. What is saying with thanksgiving? And then we come and say, go read the Bible in verses. That's what you just done. You must put everything in consideration. Let's see one more before we get to the 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is an interesting one. It says in verse 2, how many of you have bosses at work who are believers? I mean, believe the Bible. In Jesus. Let me see your hand. Just a few. Raise your hand. Oh, they go to church. Every hand will go, oh, you don't even believe them, we are believers. That's fine. Now, verse 2 is for you. Particularly those of them that you relate with as Christians, it says in verse 2, and they that believe are believing masters, let them not despise them. You know what I mean? Sir, I have a convention. It's a real convention. I don't even mind if you come, sir. The man is trying to battle his balance sheet. He's already paper on his neck and you're talking about convention. He says, sir, if you come and see, rejoice. And the flow of the spirit. Why are looking at you? And he says, because they are brethren. Rather do them service because they are faithful. He said, do not take advantage of it. Don't do that. And then start to send a text message to them, sir, the Bible says, the steadfast of the Lord never ceases. His message never comes to an end. They are new every, this is a new morning, sir. You should be sacked. If you are an employer, somebody should do that. Show the person in the scripture where God removes kings. Did you know God fires people? Eh? He sends Samuel to go and meet Saul. So your kingdom has come to an end. So you can fire. Amen? Yeah, you can. Fire the person. Some of you are not really laughing. Because I said, what are you saying? So I said, what do I mean? I said, fire the person. Say, you mean sack? I said, no, go and put a mastic. Fire the person. That's what should be done. Don't steal and say, sir, it's the flesh. You are not zero to this day, sir. I've been trying to walk in the spirit about it. Don't worry, I spend more time in church. So that you can walk. But that flesh should not be in this company. We have enough flesh, we are battling. Don't anoint the flesh. Is that clear? Don't take advantage. And if you are also believing master, don't do. Someone told me, said, anybody who I'm going to employ in our church must have, same thing, in our company, must agree to 2 hours of devotion every day. Eh? 2 hours. Our prayer chain is 1 hour. So I'll do 1 hour prayer chain for church community. I want to work. Oh boy. Let me find something else to do. This is not simply devoted at all. This is not good. You know, how do you even feel when you have people do devotion in the office? They are pretending now. There was one day I went to preach somewhere. One man actually come and speak for him. He's an influential Nigerian. So they asked, it was the end of the year, so they had this devotion. So as I was speaking, I could literally see that they went. It's an, I mean, the well-known organization. So I was preaching, that was like 2006. Is it 6 or 5? And the man, as soon as the man entered, I mean, people just changed and says funny. I need to drop off my sermon. As the man just entered, I mean, just, yeah. Praise God. Everyone pretends, say, let us pray. So say, Lord, for this organization, place organization, and the person has sent his CBO. So, multiply. Oh Lord, we grant our MD, our GMD, wisdom. I'm not going to go and gossip. Don't let me do their devotion at home, eh? Let them do it at home. When they get to work, let them work. Is that clear? And don't blackmail your boss. I'll be playing teaching. Because the boss is a member of this community. They are playing teaching. Guys, yeah, so what are you doing here, sir? It's pastor. Our man of God. You can't even do that in my own office. My own office. You can't do it. So what are you doing? I'm listening to you, sir. I asked you to prepare me a brief. They are listening to me. Which one is me? The real user. So don't take advantage. Now, the Lord expects. Now, interestingly, we don't have specific instructions. It's so clear like that about friends. And these are the ones that are the most crucial. Is it true? No, it's not true. We do have. Now, I ask the question, does God expect us to build relationships? I'll take on that next week. But you know the way you build a house? That's the way you build relationships. You must be given to building relationships. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, to show you. Amen. I said, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, the word heterozygous, with unbelievers. So stay with the key words. What fellowship at righteousness with unrighteousness. Look at the word fellowship. What communion are light with darkness? What concord at Christ with Belial? And what part he that believes with an infidel? What agreement? Look at the key words. One, yoke. Two, fellowship. Three, communion. Four, concord. Five, a part of. Six, agreement. There are six words that speak of friendship. Fellowship, partnership, concord, agreement, part, yoke, to be bound together. These are clear facts of who cannot be my friend. It's clear. The unbeliever cannot be my friend. Now, we need to be very clear in such definitions. Friend here is what I'm about to define. The unbelieving one can't be. The unbelieving one can be in concord with me, can be in fellowship, can be in communion. So who can be in communion? That means communion is available, fellowship, yoke, concord, agreement, and part. They are all involved. And these are all terms for friendship. So Romans 16, first and foremost is that he expects us to build relationships, friendships with believers. That's very clear. In Romans 16 and in many texts of what we call the New Testament, we have this phrase, Romans 16 and verse 16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. Now, the holy kiss is usually a kiss of affection and friendship. And this instruction goes into many texts. 1 Corinthians 16, 20. 1 Thessalonians 5, 26. First Peter 5, 4. Kiss of charity. Okay, that's kiss of charity. Kiss of love. That means something that's friendly. Alright? Now, in Hebrews 13, it talks about brotherly love. Let brotherly love, verse 1, continue. Let brotherly love continue. So which means that he expects us to share such intimacy, such privacy with those of our kind. What that means is, please put this down, friendship is expensive, it's costly. It's a treasure. Fellowship, concord, agreement is such a treasure that God forbids you. It is like something that is precious. You cannot throw it around carelessly. You can't. So that's the first thing. You have to value your fellowship, value your communion, value your agreement, value your privacy, value your intimacy. Of course, intimacy, I don't mean sexual. I mean intimacy. Something that is personal. You have to value it. You can't trade it away. It gives us, you do say, what darkness and light. In fact, he instructs to come out from amongst them to show how much of a treasure those things are in the Christian faith. So, we therefore have a duty to guard our resources of having friendship. Because God gives you instruction on how to use your friendship. Your communion, your fellowship, your partnership, your agreement. He gives you instructions on how to use them. In James 4. James 4 and verse 4. Ye daughters and daughtresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. This is this is uncut. It's straightforward. You don't have to look for what is this talking about. What he's saying is very clear. He says friendship. And a friend, as we're about to see in a moment, is something that someone that shares intimacy, fellowship, agreement, concord, is something you, someone that you have, or people you are fond of, will be friend. He said it can't be the world. Now, to know that this is not frivolous, in chapter 2 and 23, he calls Abraham a friend of God. Abraham, a friend of God. So it's not something you share anyhow. Your friendship, write this down, your friendship is part of your worship of God. That's why you have an instruction behind it. Now, I know we use the word friend loosely. There are people today, if I interact, that's my friend. It's just to let you know that I know the person, that the person knows me. It doesn't go beyond that. But there are people that are your friends. And biblically speaking, people you are fond of. We're going to see the definitions in a moment. Something you are fond of is something you spend fellowship with, communion with. All right? So that's what I'm, what is the, it's not typical. It's not, my friend. You can't say, someone's my friend. I would say, where does the person live? You don't know. What does the person do? And last time out, and when we were in secondary school, he said he wanted to. I left secondary school 30 years ago. Are you joking? You know, a friend. People you spend time with. So you can't give it away. It's a treasure. Now, I learned people say things like, marry your friend when it comes to marriage. It's true. But I think the best should be build friendship with your spouse. Is a better word. Build friendship. Because marry your friend might be very tough. I'd rather say marry someone you respect. Okay? That's the, of course, you can throw that away. I marry someone you don't respect. That's fine. Okay? You know, it's just your choice. So, you respect. Then build friendship. Friendship includes communion, concord, fellowship, agreement. Build it. It's built. It doesn't happen. It's built. You build it. Okay? Now, this is actually an introduction to what I'm going to share next week. I just want to give you a background to that. So you build it. The question I ask is, does God expect us to build relationships? And we're seeing, it's going to be yes, I know. But how? So, you must treasure friendship. Communion, concord. You know, that, those things that, they are treasures. And everything that's listed in 2 Corinthians 6 has to do with your attention. Your attention. Good. Now, you can't give that to everybody. We read Proverbs 18:24 last week. If you are friends with many people, you are going to come to ruin. You must choose friends. I taught you that 2 years ago and last year. You must choose. You must choose. And you must choose based on your values. I've said this before. There are people that we used to relate a whole lot years back. Now, we don't anymore. And it's not because we fought or threw tank, nothing. It's just that, you know, our purposes have shaped us and what we do. And that's all. There's no common ground. We could talk other stuff. We could say, oh, let's just talk about this and that's all, but it's not going to last long. So, therefore, you should choose friends. Choose. Don't, because we've been friends before, those things don't matter. We've come a long time. What does that even mean? You know, and the long time, you know, how many things have happened to you in the number of years you haven't spent together? So you must choose friends. So, let's see an example. Deuteronomy 33, here's God speaking about Moses. The Lord of Moses in writing. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Now the word there is panim, which means an appearance, to reveal yourself. And Jesus used that same phrase much later. In Numbers 12:8, he says, I speak mouth to mouth, in, even apparently, not in dark speeches. So, friendship is vulnerability, okay? Huh? Friendship is vulnerability. There are things that some people say, hey, so, those who are friends, they know, they just laugh. They just, you know, I remember, you know, when, okay, I'll talk about someone, I was talking to someone, they were talking, so, when I said, I was going to go for one of our shoots, so he said, so I'm going to travel, said where, I said, what, since go and preach, so you want to go, and yeah, I said, no, I said, video shoot, oh, you know what he said, once some people saw it, and he said, someone called me and said, I saw someone like you acting. I said, it's not someone like it's me. He said, you, I said, me. He said, so you said, what I told him, what he said was, he said, oh, like you used to say. Because I said that years ago, I said that was me. But those who, all right. He said, and how did I, what encouraged me? You want to know? Yes, sir. I'll tell you, I used to, let me put it properly. Kenneth Copeland. I used to, let me be a strong fan of Kenneth Copeland. So when I saw he acted Covenant Rider, and I saw it twice. So I said, oh, this man acts very well. I said, I wanted to act when I was younger, now I will. That was all. I used to act. Well, I thought it was, the acting was just for rapture and just get people to believe. But after a while, I said, okay, I think I can do this. Now, so he knew. So oh, you said, he even told me that, you know, when Kopi this, I said, oh yeah, you said so. It's simple. You get it? So the people that know you that way, right, and know you well. So I said, ah, that's a surprise. What surprised you? But that's even, by the way, so friends are people you are vulnerable with. Yeah. God is vulnerable to Moses. He shows his way to him. You can talk. That's why you have to choose who they are. Right? You have to choose. God chose Moses. Moses didn't choose God. I said, I'm your friend. So tell me everything. God, I'm your friend. Oh God. Let me be the one who chooses you. Alright? Anyway. So you have, then you have 2 Chronicles 20. Abraham was like that. And verse 7. Abraham, thy friend forever. Now, the word friend is Ahib in the Hebrew. It's the same word in the Greek. It means someone you are fond of. And the reason why it's used for Abraham and Moses is because God talked with them a lot. So, that means a friend is someone you talk with a lot. Don't forget, we have control. It has to be someone who is a believer. And even among believers, you know, they are believers. All right, so you choose that. It's a treasure to share your friendship. Is that clear? You must treasure your friendship. I'm not saying go and sell it. And say, you want to be my friend? My pastor, I say my friend. So I place value on myself. So my friendship is $10 million. Olodo. That's what we're saying. It's something that you treasure. And also, I must mention this. You know, this is a fact. It's not, don't demand it, even in your spouse. And we're married. We'll cool down. It's not done by manipulation. Right? Be friendly. Don't say, how can somebody be your husband? How can somebody be your wife? And we don't talk all the time. Did I hold your mouth? Don't coerce people. Don't say, sit down. We must talk. Pastor said, friendship is expensive. You are not friends. Even that one, you are not friends. The approach you are taking, sit down. Want to be interviewed, sit down. So it's a treasure. Alright, good. So a friend is someone you speak with a lot. God talks. Do you know what? God, do you know that? What the Hebrew is saying, that God actually liked Abraham. That's a bit mushy, right? He likes Abraham. He likes him. He's fond of him. He likes to talk to him. And Abraham proved himself to be a good friend, right? As Moses, he likes to talk to him. He likes to, he can say stuff to Abraham. You know, he can talk to Moses and Moses knows what to say to who, and you know, the faithful guys. So he did build relationships with them. So you can have people you're vulnerable with. They must be believers, just like God, good people, faithful, and all that. We'll see that later on. So, look at Jesus. John 15. John 15. So it's not automatic that you and your spouse will be friends. You should be, you could be, but you will build it, okay? Don't say, you are stuck. We are friends for life. Nothing I can do about it. You have to be friendly. Okay? Use the right tone. We'll see all that too as we go. John 15:14. You are my friends. Wow. If you do whatever I command you, you are my friends. In verse 13, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are again philos. Someone you are fond of. Now, it means someone you are always with. Now, did Jesus build this relationship? Just by the way, because we're going to look at it later, he did. One thing is this, he spent time with them, right? Right? Come on. He spent time with them. So time is important in friendships. In relationships, spend time. The same way you mustn't give your time to people that should not be your friends, right? You must give your time. You must give time. He spent resources, right? Right? He spent resources. Okay? They had interactions. And very vitally, he gave his purpose to them. He gave his purpose. His resources, interactions, purpose. They built. It got to a point, they said, these guys had been with Jesus. Acts 4:13. He had rubbed off on them. They had been with Jesus. Spent time with them. They were with him. And I'm sure they knew some very intricate stuff. That's why at some point they became very familiar. Because they had become friends. And like I was saying, you know, to someone earlier on, I said, do you know that the death of Lazarus actually pained Jesus? He cried. That's friendship. He's friend. The betrayal of Judas hurt him. If he wouldn't be called betrayal if it never affected him. Same thing as what Peter did. It's because he had built friendship. He had spent time with them. He had spent resources. His purpose. He shared his purpose with them. Any relationship where you can share your purpose, I'll come to that in a moment, is suspect. What's it for? Your purpose. Okay, let me talk about this. This is, by the way, too, but I have to talk about it. Now, usually, when two Christians who are firebrand, who, I want to sing one song, they hail Jesus and say, fire burning. You know, they bring the church home. And it's not a good place. Except, it's a cell group center. Even at that, it has times of meetings. You know, and I had to do when I lose of my counselors. And maybe someone's marrying a pastor. And so the guy is trying to do pastor at home. No, sir, you're not a pastor at home. Okay, be a Christian at home. That's a pastor. But you can't say, I'm the man of God. Not in this house. Do you get it? So if you get home, for example, and you see your pastor in the kitchen, you'll say, ah, no. Dishonor. Does that look like sales community? She's Ewa. She's come. We have to put the word first place. Who shook your mouth inside? Are you getting what I'm saying here? And men have to learn this. Because you'll be taking your eyes, find your eyes like you're going for a teaching meeting. Yes. Speaking in tongues. Nobody can talk to you again. You won't talk to me about football games. Speaking in tongues. You know I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying in spirit. I'm praying in spirit. You can't do that at all. Alright, I know God wants to build the whole earth as his rest place. Okay. I teach you that, but see, please rest, okay? I beg rest. I think it's manipulative, okay? You don't do that, it's manipulative. Is that okay? You must know how to. It's the same way with the believing master. You are taking undue advantage. Right? You're not taking care of the home. I have to take care of my cell members. I'll just come and join yourself. There was a man like that. He just dashed from home. They hardly saw him at home. So the wife just took all the children and they went to the church office and they went to sign. Want to come and see pastor? Yeah. Are you here? You have to know how to do that. So I usually tell them, look, don't. Because when I see some couples say, pastor, so-and-so say, you can't be calling yourself pastor all the time. Do that in the churches. What about, when brethren are there, I don't know about brethren, they do it. When they see me, they start calling their brother and sister, and they're lying, you know. I don't want to mention names. If I mention names, the also place will scatter. But so-and-so say, but it's allowed. That's fake honor. But it's alright. But the truth is, you can't do that at home. Okay? Now, I'm not asking you to go and create memes like monkey. No. Just know that that's different. Okay? But again, I think the point I'm trying to make here is, don't take advantage of that. And then get home and you bring, no, this is home. And so, why don't you talk to me? I'm not asking you to be rude, but, you didn't even put with your permission. We're in the bedroom. Say, with your permission, can I kiss you? I say, unto the Lord. That's nonsense, okay? You don't put that in. That's manipulation. Separate it. And I say this oftentimes. It's not also good to be talking to your spouse and say, the Holy Ghost said. That's manipulation. Holy Ghost, bow. Yeah, there is a place of the Holy Ghost, of course, where we have to take direction and all, but, tell why I say, I gave a ring to one person. I didn't know the Holy Ghost had a ring. This whole, that's manipulative. So just like the one we spoke about, believing masters, the same thing can happen to believing spouses. We need to know how to ensure that we are not doing what we ought not to do. And, you know, that's as good as that is. So we look at friendships and we ask the question, what's common to us? So I'm going to ask a question. Those you share your time with, those you share your attention with, what's common? Is it sin? Avarice? Worldliness? You have to check it. Why are people close to you? Is it because of sin? There are those who are close to you because of sinful habits. There are those who are your friends because you do worldly things together. Oh yeah, you should know by now you're in trouble. So, sin, avarice, worldliness, two red flags. So what's common? We said it has to be your purpose. As you grow older, even the natural, you begin to look at, you begin to do audits. What's the point here? Who is this person? Who is she? I'm not asking you to start calling people, I'm auditing you. It's only on your own. Just know, you know, there's not much to be done here. So what's common? You know, age can be a barrier. God and man were friends. I mean, ask God his age. Jesus and his disciples, Paul and Timothy. So it's not age. You can have friendship with people that are far older. In fact, this is something I've done in my life. I discovered that I just used to read people that were older than me. And I just was doing that. And we're friends. You know. So age is not a barrier. Ethnic group can be a barrier. Even though we tend to relate with people that speak our language very easily. And that's because of communication and maybe shared culture. But as you grow older, you discover that really is not as much as a factor as you think. Career? Maybe. Maybe not. Alright. Paul and Priscilla and Aquila definitely were in the same tech-making business, Acts 18. And they built, but the point was really the purpose that they shared together. So, you must allow purpose be a major. Is that clear? Let it be major. Let purpose be major in your relationships. So the question we have not answered is, does God expect us to build? I just gave you a snap view of Jesus having to give his time, his resources, his interactions, fellowship, and purpose to those that he called his friends. Friendship, we said, is expensive and costly. Don't give it away anyhow. Friendship is that which takes your attention. Anything that takes your attention is your friend. There are people that are your friends and you don't see them. And you interact a lot. There was a man like that who was my boss at some point. Still my boss, a mentor. And Dr. Balewa, he said something to me. It was a man he introduced to me. And they knew each other perfectly. I mean, so well that... And they've been doing business together, interacting for 20-something years. So one day we're traveling, I think we're going to Zambia, that day, 2005. We're going on one of our business trips. He said, let me show, tell you something. He said, I've never met that guy before. Eh? He said, we've never seen. And they belong to some organizations and all that, but because of where they were, and they both stayed in America. They just didn't, over 20-something years, and they were so close. So close. When I say so close, I mean I know what a close friend is. But and they influence each other very powerfully. There could be people living in your house that don't have any influence on your life, like those people that don't stay with you. But you talk with every time, give your attention to. So make sure that you are giving your attention to friends that are worth it. Okay? So it's really friendship is about attention. Those that you give your attention to is where that's where concord comes from. That's where fellowship comes from. That's where the concord, the fellowship, the agreement, the path, that is where it, the communion, that is where it comes from. That's what it is. Attention. There can't be fellowship without attention. There can't be agreement without attention. There's an attention you are giving to the person or to the people. Anything you stay with for long, even if you didn't like it initially, after a while you start to like it. So fondness sometimes is created by time, with time. That is why you must be sure of what you are spending time with. If you spend time with anything, you begin to like it. I mean, that's how we became Chelsea fans. So, I mean, anything you spend time with, anything, anybody, anything you are reading off of, you start to like it. Time always grows fondness and grows liking. That's what it is. So time is how friendship is built. Attention. Time itself is a resource in any relationship with time. And that goes into I'm talking about marriages now, just that close there. You know, you must spend time. I was counseling someone earlier last week and all that. I said, look, you have to spend time. This is a very critical. You have to create time. Even if you are very busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. The truth of the matter is, people that are busy are spending time with other people. What are you busy with? Are you busy with angels? These are the people you are always with. Those are the people that are becoming your friends. Say, I'm so busy, you know what I do, you know what I do, you know, I'm so busy. Not true. Even the busiest doctors fall in love with their patients. On call. It's the truth. It's not a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. It's a word of from knowledge. It is what it is. It's just something I have known. The Ecclesiastes said I've observed. I'm busy, busy. You are with people. Right? Even you say, oh, no, I'm doing something. I'm on a meeting. Are you not busy? They are talking. In the middle of it, they drop jokes. You like the joke. He heard something, he said, I like the idea. Let's talk after this. But I'm busy. Giving your attention to something, and it becomes friendship. That's what it is. So if you really want to build friendship with family, with people that you work together in ministry, you have to create that same time for such people to build. Is that clear? You know, look at Luke 5. I think I'll just try to close here. We all need friends, right? Good ones. This guy was sick of the palsy. Luke 5:18. It was his friends who brought him in. In Mark 2, I think this is Mark account, he couldn't come in, it was his friends. Mark 2, also verse 2, 3 and 4, the friends brought him in. You will always need friends. Friends that can inspire your faith, friends that can be there for you at crucial moments. Always need friends. So spend time, build relationships actively, right? Don't forget something very critical we said. It's about what you give your attention to. Attention is where you get communion, friendship, those key elements of friendship. Communion, agreement, part, fellowship. That's where it's about attention. What is a fellowship in church? It's church service. What's a church service? 7:30 to 10:30. We are together. We pray together. We hear the word together. And then we now all call fellowship after fellowship. So when you now leave, some of you spend, you have third service. Stay outside the car park. You say stay behind. You have to have PCF meeting. They have post PCF meeting. You just stay around. You've removed your shoe. And just going around, talking. You know, you go, that's fresh. That's what it is. You have spent time. Before you know it, you have spent about 8 hours together. 9 hours. You get to begin, you call. Somebody you saw for 8 hours. How now? Hey, what I wanted to say? 30 minutes. Friendship. So it's that part of your life is expensive. Is that okay? Give it properly and purposefully. And for those of us, I'll take it next week anyway, who are in definite marital relationships now, that we'll see. You can build, it's something you have to do yourself. Because after a while, you have to know that it's something you have to consciously build. Don't take advantage of the fact that people are men of God, the Spirit, and so they would, no. It's a relationship that requires exactly what it is. Like I mentioned, those of us who are pastors, we are all eventually pastors, eventually. You know what I mean? You have a way you can just be a pastor. No. And I think someone said something that I really liked. Is that once you're having children, make sure that they respect you, not fear. There's a respect when someone really looks up to you and someone is afraid. After a while, that fear will disappear. Like it did for you when you were growing up. You start to plan against that fear with lies, dodging things, covering up. And it is such relationship. So we have a duty to love one another, to build relationships. Don't forget what I said. I'll talk about it again next week or the week after. And what is common? Make sure what is common is in your purpose, is in what you are pursuing. Don't have aimless friends or friendships. Don't have friendship for the fun of it. Fun. Just we hang out. Or you come hang out. Even when you hang out, you know, hang out of course means to spend time together and just, leisure and stuff like that. Even at that, ensure it's still purposeful.
Man is a product of influence. Just stand to your feet. Oh Lord, we thank you. Let's pray. I said we're going to do it again. Let's just pray.